Hello, welcome to DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, teaching pastor at Life Point in Westerville. This past Sunday, we continued in our series we're calling Uncommon Crown, where we're looking at how Jesus is not a typical king. He actually came to establish the kingdom in our hearts. We looked at his genealogy from Matthew chapter 1, where it says, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The Jewish people would have been really excited to hear about this because they knew that there was a sign of a Messiah coming through David, the son of Abraham. Now, then he goes through the genealogy from Abraham all the way up until David the king. It says, Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah, Uriah's wife. Now, the interesting thing that if you're going to be the King of Kings that comes through the line of Abraham and through the line of David, this really takes an unlikely turn in this monarchy line, because Matthew chose to include some names in here that would have been embarrassing. If you're going to make up a religion, you wouldn't use these names, but the names were used because they were the truth. But the truth is, they were definitely scandalous. Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob, Jacob had 12 sons. Of the 12 sons, he favored Joseph. Remember that story from Genesis? And Judah was one of the older brothers who was definitely jealous of Joseph. And so he kind of helped lead a rebellion against his father by taking their son, throwing him down a pit, and eventually selling him into slavery, and then going back to their dad and saying, oh, he was killed, and lied to him. His brother sold into slavery. That's just a crazy story. This extremely proud and arrogant young man, Judah, eventually later in his life, you see him to be humbled. What happened that caused him to be humbled? Well, you know, Judah had three sons. The oldest son married Tamar. The oldest son was wicked, it said, and so God, allowed him to die early, and so Tamar's a widow. Well, in that culture, you would give the widow to the next son in order to protect her life and order to produce offspring that is the only way to sustain this widow. And so the next older brother marries Tamar. He was wicked also, it says, and he died. Now he's got one more son, and Judah says, you know what? He's too young. So Tamar, go home to your family, and I'll give you my youngest son when he grows up, when he's older. But Judah didn't do that. He's like, I'm not giving this son to Tamar. She must be cursed. She must be the evil one. Well, eventually Tamar, who's living a life of destitute, she can't ever have kids. She can't get married. She's waiting on God's provision through Judah. Judah's doing nothing about it. So she takes matters into her own hands. Not a good story. She dresses up like a prostitute, meets him on the road, and Judah ends up sleeping with Tamar, his former daughter-in-law. She gets pregnant with twins. Word gets out that, even though she had hidden her identity from Judah, word gets out that Tamar was pregnant. And Judah's like, there she is. I told you she was evil. I told you she went against the law of God. And he wants her to be killed. Come to find out that she reveals, well, actually, Judah, you're the dad. And that's when he realizes, wow, she's more righteous than I am. That was the moment where he got humbled, where he realized he was the problem, not Tamar. Isn't that crazy? Why would you include that story? Why would you include Rahab, the prostitute from Jericho? Why would you include Ruth, the Moabite widow? The Moabites just have a crazy story, probably the worst story in all of Scripture, how the Moabites came to be, and they warred against Israel. Why include Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, that David had an affair with and gave birth to Solomon? Why do that? Well, I think it's because it's the truth, first and foremost. But it also shows us something about God. He does not consider things the way we do. There is no one who is too far from God. In the family line of the King of Kings who came to establish a kingdom in our heart, he's saying to us, even through the family line, that no one is too far from God. And if you're a believer, understand that God can use your life no matter what you think your past has been. He can use your life for his purposes. And when it comes to people who are far from God, I think as believers, we need to recognize that these people matter, that we don't need to be so offended by them because they don't believe that we don't think they're valuable. No, that's not true at all. that we see even in the line of Christ, God highlighted through the book of Matthew some people who were the most unlikely people to be in the line of the Messiah, and yet that's exactly what God did, because that's who God is. Father, I pray you give us a heart for those who are far from you, to give them the same love and grace that you gave us, and use our lives to be that beacon of your love and grace. God, we pray that you would help us all to have your kingdom established in our heart, to know that you're the type of king that loves us in spite of ourselves. And we ask that in your son's name. Amen. Well, take a second and just pray through how you're thinking about other people who seem far from God, and how that might change this Christmas season. Till next time, God bless.